I'm Angela Ross, and this is SoCal Voices. My guest today is a unique and delightful Southern California voice. As host of Old School Jewels podcast, she shares personal journeys and interviews covering a range of topics that entertain and inspire. Jewel, welcome to SoCal Voices. I am great. I'm so glad that you're here.
Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome. So let's go back in time a little bit. Tell me where you grew up and what sparked your interest in all things radio and audio.
I was born in a little town 30 miles south of Salt Lake City, Utah, a town called Tooele. And I maybe say about 4 or 5, my dad got transferred with a mine to Tucson, Arizona. So I grew up there. But during this whole time, kind of not so things happened and good happened when I was a child. So I would escape and listen to radio. It was AM. That's how old I am. Mm-hmm. And so I would listen to the radio. And since a young age, I would say, you know what? When I grow up, I'm going to be a radio DJ. And I just, because of the times I spent alone, I would just continue to listen to the radio and continue. And then long story short, at about 15, I saw that there was an internship that was opening up at a AM. It was a big station then. And I went to apply and I got it. And that's where my career started.
That is awesome. That's so cool. And you know, once you get in that world, it never leaves you. It never leaves you. So talk a little bit more about your career and how you circled to Old School Jewels podcast. Where did that come from?
Okay. Well, I raised my kids off of being in radio. I went from Tucson to Utah to Seattle and ended up here at 3 different radio stations in California. So by then, I was about 42, 45 years old. And that's when I adopted my grandchildren. So I had to back up a little bit from that life because, you know, that life is very fast and it's, you know, you got to do a lot of things that you really don't have time to pay attention to kids that were that little at the time. So I kind of backed off a little bit. And then I started going to the college across the street over here, LAVC, to learn how to do digital work. Because remember, I'm from the old school radio. So we're splicing everything up off of a reel to reel on our own, which a lot of people don't know how to do. There you
That's
go.
Right. I know that world well. Yes, indeed.
And I started in radio when we were doing 45s on the turntables, turning it a quarter turn, you know, so I had to learn what was going on. Exactly. What was going on. I mean, how do you edit on a computer? So I had to learn and they were offering that. So I went and did that because I knew eventually I was going to have to work from home with whatever I had to do. So I had to learn how to do that. So that's where I learned how to do that, how to record, how to edit. I was introduced to some editing software. So that's how the podcast started. I had an interest. Mm-hmm. And everyone's always telling me when I have coffee, you know, Jewel, you know, you got a beautiful voice. You have a lot to say. You're so kind. You need to let the world hear that. So you know what? I tried it and I like it. This is where I'm at.
Yeah. And you're great. You're great. You know, I really love listening to you. You do have a wonderful voice, and not only in the quality and the sound of it, but also how you use it to tell stories about your personal journeys. Your podcast is so authentic, and I think it's what makes you so relatable to your listeners. Of the things that you have shared on your show, what to you has resonated the most with your listeners and with you?
My listeners enjoy me being myself and telling stories and of overcoming what I have overcome. And that's kind of therapy for me too, you know, to hear other people's stories after I air what I air. One thing I do on my shows is that in my life now, in the past, and I think you might know in radio, and people don't really realize this, but we're told what to say. I was told to change my name. I was told when to say it, when not to say it. And now with my podcast, I feel comfortable to be honest with everybody. And, you know, and I think people want honesty. And people like my podcast, and I feel so good in my heart because I'm able to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You have that control that you just don't have when you're doing other things, as you said.
Exactly.
You know, you're right. I mean, it's totally script and
told
you,
how to
you
say
can
it.
Just and you can just be real and just be you, and that's what I think makes it so powerful
that you're in control.
Exactly. Yeah. You, it's your thing. It is mm-hmm. your baby. And so you can do it however you want to. Why do you think podcasting seems to have just taken off and is just so popular with people?
Well, I'll be honest. One of the things that I think really got people going was the pandemic. You know, I noticed the rise in everybody had a podcast during the pandemic. You
COVID
know,
babies, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I really didn't do much. I talked about favorite movies. I kind of felt what people, oh, Julie, you ought to do. I listen to people a lot. I kind of don't come up with a lot of the things that I do or say. I listen to what people at the coffee place, you know, yeah, man, do you know any good movies? I always get asked that. Do you know what good movies? So during the pandemic, everybody had Disney, everybody was ordering everything, but they didn't know what to watch. So mm-hmm. I did one on that one, and that one was a big hit. A lot of people, to be honest, I got like 5,000. To me, that's good because I'm, you know, not a big podcaster, but 5,000 yeah. people listened to a show I did called Pet Peeves. Mm-hmm. And someone also told me that you ought to do it on Pet Peeves because people want you, like we talked about earlier, to talk about stuff they're interested in. You know, not exactly. always about the media or what's going on, personal mm-hmm. stuff. You connect with people that you're talking to when it's about what they're going through too, or what they need to know.
Yeah.
And you got to be real, yeah. you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I was thinking about, as you were mentioning that one of the journeys that you have described, well, there have been several, and I wanted to ask you if you would mind picking one to share here that you feel really connected you with your audience in a way that maybe nothing else that you've ever talked about has, because we're talking about connecting and being real with people and that authenticity. Is there a particular journey story of yours that you think really took off with your listeners? Yeah, to share
those.
There's
a couple.
What
one is about sexual abuse. Mm-hmm. Another one that a lot of people really liked, and it was a big hitter, was my weight loss journey. You know, I was real, you know, and they really liked that. And a lot of overweight women and women who have lost weight connected big time because, like I said, I like to be honest and I really like to let people know that I'm not a hypocrite. And if I did wrong, I'll say that I did wrong because mm-hmm. I'm not on there to tell you if I lost the weight, you can, because that's the worst thing I wanted to hear. No, I can't yeah. do everything you're doing and you can't do everything I'm doing. So, but I can give you a story of how I overcame what I was in the predicament at the time. And I can tell you what I did, how I fell, you know, because none of us are perfect. And some people on their podcast portray that they're perfect and mm-hmm. we're not. And people relate more when they see people that are like, well, you know what? She fell too. You know, she's not on here saying, you know what I'm saying? I relate more to people that are honest and listen, because if I'm listening to somebody that's saying they're losing weight and they're saying, oh, and I fit in this dress and I fit in that, and oh my God, if I did it, you can do it. That's not what anybody wants to hear. You know, we want to mm-hmm. hear the true story. We want to hear yeah. the failures also, you know, not to be negative, but yeah, you know, nothing's perfect. And if you let people know that, then they're going to try harder and say, you know what, it's okay to make a mistake. You know?
Yeah. And I might try it and it may not work for me because you're a different person. You yeah. know, you're dealing with different things in your life at that time and all of that. So yeah, that's really amazing to hear. And it is good to hear. And I think that we both share that wanting to hear that compelling story. I got knocked down, but I am struggling to get myself back up. Some people can say, hey, I got knocked down. I'm back 1,000% woohoo. For a lot of us, it's like, hey, I got knocked down and I am still struggling trying to find my way to make it.
And this is what I'm doing myself. Right. Not, mm-hmm. I'm not asking you to do it, but this is what helped me. And maybe it can help you. Maybe not. Mm-hmm. You know, this is just right. what's helping me.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a beautiful thing. You know, in the time that you have been doing your podcast, Jewel, what has surprised you about you?
That I'm able to be so open about certain things that I've never been able to talk about before. And I'm not afraid anymore, you know, and that so many people finally have, you know, in the beginning, I would check, you know, well, two listeners, what the heck, what am I doing wrong? You know, is that I don't care anymore how many people listen. I have only 400 followers on Instagram and maybe two or three like my posts. And I had to realize that, you know what, you've hit two or three people in the heart, and that's all that matters, because I'm not out here to have millions and millions. If you're listening, that many people, great. But I'm just here to, you know, put a spark of some type of love in one or two people, and if more, then great. I've learned podcasting that you've got to just, you know, take it as it is. It's like social media. You know, you got to take the hate, you got to take the love, and you got to balance it out.
That is really true. Really, really true. You know, you speak so plainly about life in your world. And again, that's the thing I think that really resonates with folks. I'd like to know, who are some of your favorites? Who do you listen to, and who inspires you, and why?
Listen as in podcasts?
And everything, music, podcasting, what you read, what feeds your soul, Jewel?
I don't read. I read the Bible.
Tell me why.
I read the Bible.
Okay.
But I do read the Bible, but I like books of inspiration about the Bible. Mm-hmm. The Bible's sometimes very hard to read. And I think that a lot of times that people don't read it because it's difficult. So my pastor said, well, why don't you read this? And it is the Bible, but it's in simpler words. And yeah. I read a lot of inspirational stuff. I try to feed my mind positive stuff, so that I've changed quite a bit from the 70s to now. Jewel has changed. The old Jewel would have yelled at you and probably tried to beat you up. But this new Jewel, I like it. I like her, because I don't care what I've done in my past. I don't care what people think about me anymore. I am so full of a good spirit and love that I am able now in my life to treat people with respect. When people don't say such nice things, I'm able to give a response that's a kind response, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm proud of myself for that. I love to read inspirational stuff.
What's the last one you read?
It's called Inspiration for Catholics. I am a Catholic, mm-hmm. and it's Inspiration mm-hmm. for Catholics. And it's just a bunch of quotes. I also have a My Daily Bread, which is, it tells you about a scenario, and then, you know, God tells you about a scenario, then you pray about it, and then you talk about it, and you realize, okay, yeah, this is what I need to do, and then you pray. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy that, and that's called My Daily Bread. So that's kind of stuff I like to feel. I don't like to read books, you know, stories and stuff like that. I've never really mm-hmm. liked to read. I'm a good reader, but it's just not, I like to go look at things. I like the audio better than the visual. That's how mm-hmm. I am.
mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and we all take it in differently, and we all learn differently. And for some of us, it's reading. For some of us, I need to see it in front of me.
That's how
I need
I am.
To watch something. Yeah. And that's great.
And why these work for me is because they're short stories. It's a paragraph, and then the prayer is a paragraph, and I feel good and I'm done. I don't need to keep going and going and going, you know, so that's what I enjoy about it.
Talking about the spirit and about faith, do you mind sharing with us what it is about your faith that keeps you engaged with that? You know, we're living in a time now where you're hearing about church attendance, it's declining, and a lot of people just don't seem to be about that world, the spirit. How does it help you in your daily life? And what is your thought about what we see happening in society?
I think the world is like a big ball of dust. You know, I think there's a lot of hate. I think people aren't understanding each other. There's not a lot of love. And, you know, one thing I want to say how I feel, and I say this all the time, is that just because you go to church and just because you read the Bible, those are good things. Don't get me wrong. But that doesn't make you a Christian. Mm-hmm. What mm-hmm. makes you a Christian, and what I try to get out there, and a lot of people make fun of me, and I don't care, because this is how I feel. This is what helps me is to be a kind person. When you see me and you know I go to church, but I'm screaming at you and I'm giving you the finger right after church, that doesn't make me a good Christian. And that happens a lot, right? What mm-hmm. makes me a good Christian is when you know me, and not just for a day, not for 2 days, always, it's constant with me, is that I'm a good person. I treat you with respect. I don't make fun of people. And I try to make you laugh. I've always been a jokester, but in a clean way. It's just how I present myself is, I think, what makes me a Christian. So when you see me, you know what? She's a Christian. Not because I'm coming out of church or because you see me reading a Bible. We need to treat each other with kindness and respect. Stop judging. And the devil is the gossip of all radio, you know, so don't spread all that stuff. You know, I don't like any of that stuff. And I think that spiritually, I truly believe, and again, I get made fun of, I believe in God. I've read enough and I don't need to see all this. I know what's in my life. I wake up every day, have food. My grandchildren are healthy and I'm 60 and raising two grandchildren, one with autism. That's God in there helping me. And that's truly how it keeps me juiced up and keep going, you know, because I know something out there loves me and is caring for me. And that's what keeps me going with Christianity and love. And a lot of people make fun of me, like I said, but I really don't care because that's what makes me tick.
Right, right.
Is the love
that's,
of God.
It's in you and you've lived it and you know what you've lived. You know what you have experienced. So that's a beautiful thing. You know, I'm enjoying hearing about you and your grandkids. Any interesting antics lately or discoveries? Are you trying to deal with this? You know, especially with the challenge with the autism.
How is that going? Very challenging. And if you're not, what I find is that family and friends and people that find out that Jasmine has autism, and it's okay for me to talk about it because she's come to a point where it's okay, Nana, go ahead and talk about it. In fact, soon here, I'll be posting a podcast with her. So it's from her mouth. But the challenge is what comes with autism. See, I was kind of thrown into that. She was just diagnosed right before the pandemic. So that means there's no doctors, there's no psychiatrist, there's nothing, no support for me at all. And I'm like, what is autism? You know, so I had to educate myself. I literally went online, educated myself as much as I could for like 2 years nonstop because I had to understand why certain things were happening. And what the challenge is that people who aren't educated approach, you know, when I say, well, she can't do this because of loud noises, and I'm trying to explain so that they understand her. Well, she doesn't look like she has autism. She does that. So, you know, that's the biggest challenge. And having to deal with school was socially awkwardness with her so much, the anxiety. So I, as a person, also had to step back because I'm pretty much not OCD, but, you know, let's go, let's do this. And I had to slow myself down in order to understand her. People with autism are slower. You know, she doesn't like the loud noises. So my music had to come down because I love to listen to music, you know. So you got to, like I said, put yourself in the person's, you know, what's going on with her to understand her so that she's able to grow because she's 16 and I want her to be able to be independent eventually. My grandson has OCD, so he's all over the place. So as a 60, I'll be 60 in November. And it's kind of, it's not difficult. I'm doing it and I'm doing it alone with all the comments, everything. I'm still doing it. We're good. We have a home. We have a car. We're eating. That's all that matters. And there's so much love in my home that I don't care what everyone else thinks, you know. It is challenging, especially for a grandma. But my job and what I was asked to do by the court, I had to be 10 times better than where they came from. So that means I had to do a little bit of changing as well. And I want their life to be 10 times better than what they thought it would be or how they were treated when they were younger. And so far, we're doing okay. We just had a little bit of bumps, but we're moving forward. She is a straight A student. She's on the honor roll, you know, but there's just those little things as we all do. And you never tell a person with autism, well, we all have autism. That's not what I'm saying here. What I'm saying is that, you know, we all have struggles. Hers are just different. So we just got to understand each other to try to make it work. And that's how we do it.
Wow. Those kids, they are fortunate to have you in their lives. Your openness and your faith and your willingness to learn and to adjust, all of that is so meaningful to their journey. That is a beautiful thing, Jewel.
During the initial process, because they give the parent about 4 years to try to rehabilitate them or whatever needs to be done to get their kids back. Because the state doesn't want someone else having their kids. They want the parent, and which is understandable. But when it came to asking me if I wanted to adopt them, because now they've realized you know what, they need to be out of the home forever. I had to lose 150 pounds or I wouldn't be able. One of the social workers thought I was so unhealthy, which I was walking. I was doing I took care of him for 4 years. Now my weight is being brought up now that it's time to adopt. So I did it. I did it. And here they are. So yeah, lots of love and lots of understanding is what it's taken. And my God has helped me. I truly believe 150 pounds in less than a year was hard, but I had something I needed to do and I did it. And there is my God in there. That's my spirituality.
That is amazing. Wonderful, wonderful testimony, Jewel. So as you look ahead to the next few months of this year, what do you see happening professionally for you or personally for you or passion project for you in terms of the podcast? What's next for Jewel?
I haven't really posted much because or done a podcast.
I noticed that.
Well, only because, you know, I have a granddaughter with autism. I have two kids that are in sports. So I'm kind of going here, going there. I had a little bit of setback. I got COVID in January, you know, just little things that happen in life. Life has been happening, nothing horrible, but my daughter is getting married in October. And there's this pantsuit that I really want. And so I decided and I prayed and I said, you know, I've lost a lot of weight, but you know, I kind of in between there, you know, started, you know, gaining a little bit, not too much. I'm not back where I was, but you know, I've been enjoying life. Let's put it that way. Maybe a little bit too much. And so I want to get back on that. I plan on going back out and playing tennis again, which I really love. And I'm not bad for a big lady either. Going out there and playing. And my goal is to fit in that suit in October and be proud of what I did. You know, and do more podcasts. I plan on doing a little bit more. I just, like I said, life has been happening and I have two grandkids. And so I do plan on getting in there. So my goal is to get more podcasts out, episodes, and to get back on the fitness thing, get back to my hiking, which I love, and more Jewel time. Jewel doesn't get a lot of time alone. So I'm looking forward to that.
Well, here's wishing you some Jewel time, wishing you and the family a fantastic October wedding. That's a perfect month for a wedding. I'm just here to tell you from personal experience.
Oh, really?
Okay. And yes. And it's just been so great chatting with you. I really appreciate your richness and your spirit, Jewel.
Thank you for having me.
That it's an inspiration to others who listen as well. So you keep doing what you're doing. We'll be watching. And praying for all good things.
Oh, thank
you. For Old School Jewel.
Likewise.
And the family. Thank you so much. Really good to have you. I'm Angela Ross. Thanks for listening to SoCal Voices. Interested in advertising on the podcast? Email us at contactus@socalvoices.com. You can also follow the podcast on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook @SoCal Voices.